The following message is brought to you from the Chapel of Reformed Theological Seminary, Orlando, a graduate theological school committed to the authority of God's Word, where students develop a mind for truth and a heart for God. It comes during a week of intensive courses as part of the RTS Orlando Distance MDiv program and is the first of a five-part series entitled The Ligaments of Faith, based on Romans chapter 5, 1 through 5. To learn more about RTS Orlando, visit the campus webpage at www.rts.edu/Orlando. You may also find recordings of other chapel messages, lectures, and campus interviews on the resources page at the same address. And now, Professor Glodo.
Well, it's good to see you first-time students. You have some big shoes to fill. So good to see all you returning students, some of whom sadly will never pass this way again. I mean, come to campus for a class. But it's good to see all of you and everyone in between as well. This week, we're going to take 5 moments to reflect upon the words of Romans chapter 5, the first 5 verses. Each day, a faculty member or staff member will be reflecting upon one word in this succession of linkages in Christian experience. You want the shade? Yeah. Anybody else troubled by that? Okay, I'll dispense with my concern. Well, let me read these 5 verses in total for you, and then as each successive speaker deems fit, they can share subsequent verses. Hear the word of God in Romans chapter 5, 1 through 5. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. May God add his blessing to this reading of his word. Will you pray with me? Oh Lord, we pray that you would open our eyes that we might behold wonderful things in your law, that you would quicken our hearts so that these dry bones of ours might live, and that you would help us to be doers, not simply hearers of the word. Amen. How many of you heard of Rube Goldberg? A few of you. He was a cartoonist of the early to mid 20th century, and his cartoon character, Professor Lucifer Gorgonzola Butts, designed outrageously complex machines to perform simple tasks. The U.S. Postal Service honored Rube Goldberg posthumously with a stamp featuring one of his cartoons. It's where Professor Butts invents a machine to wipe soup from his mouth that involves a cracker, a parrot, a bucket, a scythe, a skyrocket, and a mantle clock. And the legacy of Rube Goldberg devices, which take something simple and turn it into something complicated, has been preserved in popular culture through Tom and Jerry cartoons, Edward Scissorhands, Back to the Future, Home Alone, your favorite, and of course, most recently, the hybrid course Canvas page. Now, the fact is, we have a tendency to make Christian experience unnecessarily complex. We are like the proverbial man who is, he's asked what time it is, he gives instructions on how to make a watch. Hence, the lifelong struggle with sermon length. Amen, preaching lab instructors. So, throughout our lives, we can return again and again to the verse we read here, Romans chapter 5, 1 through 5, as a reminder of the basics of Christian experience. And it's a wonderful text to recalibrate our own experience and for giving counsel to others. Simple instruction in the Christian faith. And Paul, if I may borrow the Rube Goldberg metaphor, he uses the fishing pole to reel us back into this simplicity here. These 5 verses are actually a snow globe of Christianity that would bring us back to the basics and should be committed to memory and preached and taught from time to time by every one of them. In this text, we find the cause of present joy and anticipation of the hope of glory based on the present possession of God. We find the cause of present joy in anticipation of the hope of glory based on the present possession of peace with God. And what this means, as we'll see tomorrow with Dr. Allen's exhortation and with Dr. Reed's the following day and Reverend Osborne on Thursday, and is that even the very worst thing happen to us in life becomes source. It's a lesson that whether it's necessary for today, certainly if it not, it is necessary for yesterday and necessary for many many tomorrow as our own teaching. Each day we're going to look at a separate link in what this chain of Christian experience is. But like the links in a chain don't do anything by themselves, do they? Links in a chain have to be linked to what precedes and what follows in order to form a chain. Or if I can change the metaphor, bones and muscles are of no use unless they're connected by ligaments. So this week, this little is the ligaments faith. And without connection of these muscles and bones, we cannot move about in the world. We cannot move through life experiences. But these ligaments of faith will cause the muscle and bone of belief to make us mobile spiritually in life. Just for a few moments, let's just look at the first two verses to begin our consideration of this priceless section of Scripture. I turn your attention to the first two verses. Paul says, therefore. Now, therefore assumes what has preceded it, which is the just shall live by faith, and sum it up. Therefore, since the just will live by faith, we have been justified by faith, declared right before God through the instrumentality of confidence and belief in God's Word. And while this is not a good example of how God's faithfulness is the foundation of it, I think there are passages in Romans which invite that kind of interpretation. It's God's faithfulness upon which our faith depends. It's a both and. And as a consequence, we have peace with God. Now, this is not the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. That passeth all understanding. One of those phrases that deserves to remain in the King James. But this is not that. This is not the peace of God. This is not a contentment of heart, a resting. But it is dependent upon this peace, which is the peace with God. That is, warfare has ended, as Paul subsequently says in this chapter. While we were yet enemies, what? Christ died for us. The foundation of the gospel is that warfare has ceased between God and His believing children. How did it cease? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, once again, the instrumentality or the fundamental necessity of Christ's mediation. Professor John Murray says this, the mediation of Christ is not dispensed with in the bestowment of the privileges which proceed from justification. And this reminds us that our dependence upon the mediation of Christ is never suspended. All spiritual blessings are in Christ, but they are also enjoyed through Christ's new mediate activity. I remember a seminary professor telling a story about when he came across the parable where the Son of Man would gird himself and wait tables in the kingdom. And he ran to his president and said to him, look, Christ even serves us in eternity. And the president of the seminary said to him, Bob, you'll know who that Bob is, Dr. Allen. Bob, when did you ever sneed even to heaven? All that just because it is something that makes peace with God, but a person, the Son of God. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. The word access here is something like an avenue. It's not just a bank account on which we can draw when we need it, but it's an avenue of approach toward God. Remember Dorothy's struggle to see the wizard and the barrier upon barrier which she encountered. But you see, justification by faith means free access into God's presence. As Jude 24 and 25 says, we do stand blameless with great joy to the glory of God. It's a grace in which we stand. Murray, once again, here is helpful. It's the grace of justification in which we stand. It's not other graces. And therefore, we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. You see the proper fruit of just rejoicing. Now, the word here is not a typical word for joy. And I think Dr. Allen will probably speak to this tomorrow because the verb is repeated in verse 3. But it's boasting. This word everywhere else in the New Testament is translated boasting. And there's bad boasting. Previously in Romans, Paul has talked about those who boast in the law. Where then is boasting? If boasting in the law, that's no boasting. But to boast in the glory of God is to have an external basis which is worthy of boasting. You see, Christian boasting is not boasting about something that's within, but in fact, because it's external to us. This is something John Bunyan wrestled with in Grace Abounding. You know the story. He was trying to figure out if he was truly of faith. And finally, he was so beside himself, he saw a puddle on the road, and he thought, if I tell the puddle to dry up, and it dries up, I'll know I have faith. But If I tell the puddle to dry up and it doesn't have faith, then I'll know I don't have faith. And so he sits down under a bush and he's beside himself. And then this word comes to him that is not a scriptural expression, but it's a scriptural concept to the core. Thy righteous, but the one who is seated at the right hand, he is our right. We look to Christian experience and we don't find a consistency there, right? I remember in my early 20s trying to learn how to be a Christian adult. And I remember asking God, God, I'll take lower highs if you'll give me higher lows. Because I was living from one retreat to the next, and there were too far in between. And from one moment, the ecstasy of Christian fellowship and hearing His Word, and then the depths of despondency. And I've learned through reading Pilgrim's Progress that a lot of the Christian life is bringing down the high place and raising up the low place. Somewhere that's preparing the way. And yet here is the answer to that. Our righteousness is not within us. Think it is without us. It is Christ. And I ran across this in the most unusual place, and this is kind of the application point of Dave. Richard Hayes' essays, The Conversion of the Imagination, he describes reading a feminist scholar who was deconstructing the biblical story because of its obvious misogynistic patriarchal paternalism, particularly the story of Abraham. And this particular scholar was deconstructing the story in order that the story of faith could be preserved and used. And Hayes says this. He says, regrettably, many practitioners of the hermeneutic of suspicion are remarkably credulous about the claims of experience. In other words, the feminist scholar or the Marxist scholar or whatever the special interest hermeneutic is, reads the text of Scripture and deconstructs it according to their experience. And I'm cheering Hayes on at this point. And he goes on to say, if I may summarize it, he says it explicitly, Abraham's faith is interpreted explicitly as his trust in God's promise, despite its incongruence with Abraham's own experience of sterility, frustration. As I celebrated Hayes' slam dunk of feminist, I realized Abraham beyond childbearing, his wife beyond pleasure, barren, childless, not because the Lord showed himself, because the Lord had pondered, given a promise, word fulfilled. See, that's the ligaments of faith, not walking by sight, but believing God's word in spite, and as Dr. Allen will show us tomorrow, in light of Philipsis, tribulation, trial, suffering, so that the end result, and we'll see this on Friday, the result of joy and hope. That's the goal of our meditation. That's the challenge of this text of Scripture. Some of you will have heard at one time or another that old spiritual dim bones. And you know dim bones is just bone until they hear the word of the Lord. What the Lord? Spirit of the Lord gives ligament. Spirit of the Lord breathes life in that bones. That's my prayer this week, that this brief dwelling upon Romans 5, verses 1 through 5, will be an opportunity for God to strengthen not just the muscles and bones of faith, but will strengthen for you the ligament of faith so that justification, joy, will be close partner in you. Let's, Lord, thank you for assembling us together, to giving us a fellowship of the labors of the week. We pray for the professors. They would be good stewards of this opportunity. We pray for the students as well, stewards of all the resources that are being entrusted to them as they take the way of life. Lord, bind us together in Christian love throughout the week. Fill us with the joy of justification as strength of ligament faith.